This is Waddle and Sylvie.
For shizzle my pizzle.
he wants us to hawk in fire feathers.
Afternoons from 2 to 6.
That's the essence of what Waddle and I used to preach. Stupidity of, hey, there's a lot of load on you right now. Let's manage that load.
Right.
Let's call it load management.
On ESPN Chicago.
Don't look at me that way, Waddle. We were talking about basketball. We were talking about basketball playing minutes. Big playoff weekend this weekend. Two games tomorrow, two games Sunday, and the national championship game on Monday. Football.
Just finished my assignment that you gave us all as well.
Yeah. You want to do that right here?
Yeah.
Want to do that right away?
Right now.
It's not anything like new, but it's our opinion.
I saw Dan Orlovsky doing this on SportsCenter on Get Up or something.
Yeah, I know.
I thought it was interesting.
Golic and Greeny used to do this every round of the postseason or something like that. They would do that with coaches, too.
By the way, did they ever name a coach in Cleveland?
No, not yet.
No?
I don't think Josh Daniels has left the building, or Josh McDaniels has left the building,
and there's no deal.
Ian Rapoport tweeted that they are committed to their process and their search, and it is ongoing right now.
Did you hear about Stefanski, though, right? They were nearly hired. Dorsey wanted to hire, no, I'm sorry. Someone in the building. Paul D. Podesta.
They almost hired him last year.
Wanted to hire Stefanski. Dorsey and the crew wanted to go with Kitchens.
Right.
And they all paid for it in the end.
Yeah.
But he was nearly hired in Cleveland last year. So they know a lot about him.
You believe Tom Brady's going back to New England. Do you think people will change their opinion? Because I think more than 50% of people probably feel Tom Brady's leaving. If Josh McDaniels doesn't get the Cleveland job and stays in New England, how do you believe that will change people's perspective on whether or not Tom Brady will go?
You think he's more likely to return if Josh stays?
Probably, but I don't know. I don't know.
It's what we talked about with Tirico. It seems odd, and it's pointing to a lot of things, but he's doing this for a reason. What reason it is, we don't know. Maybe he truly wants to leave. I believe he wants to get something, and he's doing this until he gets what he wants, then he's going back. I don't know if he wants to. I think he's cool playing chicken because he's got a big ego, and maybe he would go down the other road, the fork in the road. He's not chicken, and he would probably do it, but I think he wants them to give him what he wants, and therefore he stays and he makes it easier on himself.
Are you sure that's Canadian Family Feud?
Chicken!
Sounds like Columbia, South Carolina Family Feud.
It's got a little southern,
sound to it.
All right, here we go. Let's get, there are 8 quarterbacks.
We have some ranking music. Do you have ranking music at all? Is there anything that's...
I mean,
play some Rush.
Well, we played Rush coming out, but we can do more. Absolutely.
Did they only have one song?
Did you guys celebrate their entire catalog? Come on, give me something off of 2112.
Not only do we love Rush, but explain why we're playing Rush the rest of the way home.
Neil Peart, is that how you pronounce his last name, Adam?
Yes.
The Rush drummer for Rush
and lyricist
has passed away at the age of 67. He had been battling brain cancer
terrible
quietly for the last 3 years. He has passed away.
Only 67. 67, I consider these days very young.
Oh, yeah.
Still young.
No doubt.
All right, so here's your ranking music. So this is not who are the best 8 quarterbacks left. Who do you trust the most?
Well, this is okay. So this is how I interpreted the assignment. I trust and like...
Big trust.
I think there's obviously a ton of subjectivity to all of this.
Of course.
But it's like I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So at number 8 for me is Ryan Tannehill against the Ravens defense. Now, I know Ryan Tannehill had the highest quarterback rating at 117.5, but he played, 11 games? And I think the Ravens, we saw Ryan Tannehill struggle a little bit against the Patriots. I just feel like the Ravens are going to give him a run for his money, and that if the Titans do overcome the adversity and win this game, it's going to be because of Derrick Henry more than it is Ryan Tannehill. So at number 8, I have Tannehill facing the Ravens.
Okay. You want to go? Do you want to go around the room and just compare our eights then, or do you want to give your whole list?
It's up to you. You choose.
My number eight, for the exact same reasons you mentioned, Ryan Tannehill. Does anyone not have Tannehill number eight?
I have him as eight as well. I think all you need to know is that he threw the ball 15 times on last Saturday night.
Many times not well.
I don't even think Mike Vrabel trusts him.
And Abdallah, did you do this?
Ranking the quarterbacks, yeah, I went Tannehill eighth.
Okay. Number seven.
Now, number seven for me is Cousins against the 49ers, and I went with Cousins, who had a very good year this year against the 49ers because the 49ers sacked 48 quarterbacks this year. And despite how well he played this past weekend in New Orleans against a defense that had 51 sacks on the year, although they didn't have Sheldon Rankins and Davenport, I think the rush will be constant, and I think it will. The rush will be constant coming from the 49ers, and it will get the best of Cousins. I don't like the matchup for Kirk Cousins against the San Francisco front seven.
I may surprise you here. I did not go with Kirk Cousins number seven. I went with Jimmy G.
Okay.
He has very little playoff experience, correct? You have said to us all along, while you like him, he's got some J in him.
He does.
So
he's a risk taker.
I think Cousins earned something with me going on the road in that dome, making big throws, taking less chances. So number seven for me is Jimmy G.
Sylvie, I am simpatico with you. The way you framed it, Waddle, I'll give you, when you throw the Niners defense into the equation, I don't love that for Kirk Cousins. But in terms of if you factor that out, the quarterbacks I trust more, I trust Cousins a little bit more. I have Jimmy Garoppolo as my number seven because I think Kyle Shanahan puts him in great positions to be successful, but I don't always trust Jimmy G in his decision-making.
But I think you should, Miller, even though you agree with me, this should take into account the defense. Yes, because we're going this week who you trust, and it's against the 49ers defense.
Right, it's not like you're not playing against Aaron.
No, you're right. You're right. But when you gave me the assignment, I went based on the quarterback.
Like being at school. You didn't listen to the teacher.
No, I'm saying based on, I deciphered it my own way. Did you say factor in the defense he's playing against?
Well, yeah, you said confidence. Yeah, that had to be assumed.
I know, my confidence level in the quarterbacks playing this weekend, Jimmy G is not above Kirk Cousins.
Okay. Abdallah, who do you have at number seven?
I'm going to go with Cousins. I know that he got over the proverbial hump, if you will, or whatever that word is.
What hump?
The hump of him winning playoff games or primetime games against the spread and all that other stuff and straight up. And I still don't trust him.
Listen, if Cousins was facing the Texans, he wouldn't be at seven for me. He's facing the 49ers on the road. That's why I have Cousins at seven.
It's very fair.
At number six, I have Jimmy G against the Vikings defense because I think the Vikings defense is fantastic as well. And you mentioned Jimmy G is very little. I don't think he has any playoff experience, right? I don't think he's ever played in the postseason. No. So, but I will say, I believe I put him ahead of Cousins because you know how much I believe in Kyle Shanahan and the running game that they have and how they go about trying to protect him. It was close. I could have gone either way, but I got Jimmy G against the Vikings at six.
In my opinion, after number six is where it gets a lot harder, and the quarterbacks really step up in class, too. So, obviously, we just flip-flopped. I've got Cousins number six for me. And do you guys have Cousins six?
I have Cousins six. I assume Abdallah has Jimmy G.
I do.
Look at that.
So, two and two. So far, two of us have... Miller and I have agreed on everyone, and Waddle are together.
At number five, I have Deshaun Jackson against the Chiefs. I just don't believe that Deshaun Watson, I'm sorry. Did I say Deshaun Jackson?
Yes.
Fine wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles who hasn't played for quite some time. Deshaun Watson against the Chiefs. Watson is a fantastic player. I just don't think he has enough around him. The Chiefs got some bad news with Chris Jones being out today for practice. But overall, the Chiefs' defense has gotten healthier and has gotten better. I think it's going to be a tough mountain to climb for Deshaun Watson. So I've got Watson against the Chiefs as five.
Waddle, I'm with you. It was a real tough decision for me.
Right. You got to compare it against the other ones as well.
Because it was the length of the resume of the person I have just ahead of Deshaun Watson. Because of what that quarterback has done. I love Watson. You know that. People think we over-evaluate Watson. I think that's stupid. But I've got Deshaun Watson at number five.
Now, I also have Deshaun Watson as my number five, although my top three, I think there's a little bit of a line of delineation for me. So okay. Watson's in a group lower than the top three for me, so he's my five as well.
So we're picking quarterbacks we trust this weekend, right?
Yes,
against gross. Their matchup.
Yes.
Russell Wilson is my number five.
Ooh.
Because the injuries that he's got. And I believe someone told me that the Packers were fourth
yes, best.
Against.
Yes, that
fourth
is correct.
Best against
oh,
rushing.
Scrambling quarterback. Yeah.
Scrambling quarterback.
That
so,
is correct.
I'm going to put Russell Wilson there just because it's not him. It's nothing against him. But he is the leader of that offense, and he is going to be only be able to use the tools and the protection around him. And he is his the tools and the protection around him is going to be very limited. Okay. So I'm going with Russell Wilson.
This is where it gets the subjectivity becomes a large part of the conversation. At number four for me, it's Lamar Jackson against the Titans.
I understand.
And it's mostly because of the next three, how they, with regard to their level of
their
experience,
yeah.
their resume, and then the defense that maybe one of the other quarterbacks
right.
is playing against. Listen, the Titans are not the best defense in the league. Obviously, I get that, but it is an above-average defense. They gave up less than 21 points per game this year. It's a physical team. I think that I don't think they'll stop them, but I do believe that Mike Vrabel comes from the coaching tree of one of the greatest, take that back, the greatest of all time. So they may have a little something up his sleeve to try to slow down Lamar Jackson. So I got Lamar Jackson against the Titans at four.
Don't you think they could have, like, put everything into beating the Patriots? Like, beating,
could,
you know what?
Could,
that
yeah,
was their Super
very
Bowl
fair. It's very
for Vrabel
fair.
And that team.
Very fair.
So I just think Lamar Jackson is playing at such a high level. I understand what you did there. But I didn't rank him number four. I even though he's Aaron freaking Rodgers, I put Rodgers there just on the way his wide receivers have played this year, the way the run game has gone for him more than his passing. And I know Seattle's defense, I could have easily had him higher because of going against Seattle's defense. But I just like the other three better. So I have Aaron Rodgers as the fourth most confident quarterback this weekend.
Sylvie, I did the same as well. I have Aaron Rodgers as my fourth ranked. And this kind of goes back to week 10, believe it or not, when they went to the Los Angeles Chargers and laid an egg. And then 2 weeks later, they got blown out on Sunday Night Football by the 49ers. Granted, they won five straight, but the five straight that to close out the year, they weren't wins that they did in impressive fashion. They beat the Giants, Redskins, Bears, Vikings, and Lions. And even though they beat the Vikings on Monday Night Football, they didn't really house them. The Vikings seemed to fail to show up in that game. So for whatever reason, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers with a raised eyebrow and a little bit suspect these days. Want him to kind of, I guess, prove it to me. So he's lower on my
And he may do
ranks.
That. He may come
he may,
out
he
and
very
we may
well
say,
may.
Why did we, sort of like we've done with Brady over the years.
I like some good rationale, some good reasoning.
What about you, Abdallah?
This is where I put Watson, guys, for all the reasons you named before. But I thought that Russell Wilson should be a spot behind, given what he's limited with. But I'll take Watson here.
All right, we're up to number three. The quarterback we're most confident in, number three.
Number three for me is Wilson against the Packers defense. Now, I think that the Packers defense, again, is going to be a stiff challenge for him because of that odd reason I gave and the Packers' ability to kind of contain opposing mobile quarterbacks. But Russell Wilson's Russell Wilson. He doesn't have a ton in front of him. He's got several backup offensive linemen. DK Metcalf has really developed late in the season. I think they've got a little something going on there. So I would say number three, I trust Russell Wilson not to make the catastrophic mistake and to be able to keep plays alive and make plays for himself, even without a ton around him. So number three is Wilson versus the Packers.
You had Lamar Jackson at number four?
I did.
I've got Lamar Jackson at number three because I still remember the Chargers game. Isn't that who beat them last year?
Last year in the postseason.
In the postseason, that there was a different defense, and he's a different quarterback.
He is.
He's the MVP right now. But is there still, like, this secret way to play him that teams have adjusted that we don't know of here until the playoffs?
That's why I say Mike Vrabel probably will have a little wrinkle for him.
So he's awesome. He's totally, but he's got a lack of experience, and so I'm going to put him at three as quarterbacks I trust most.
La Marvelous is my number three as well, Sylvie, which I think means there's a pretty good chance that we have the exact same confidence level in our list here. Lamar Jackson, number three for me.
You guys should get a room, really, is what you guys should do. Get a football room.
Guys, number three for me is going to be Aaron Rodgers at home, 71-19. That alone, straight up, is where I put him against the spread. If you want those numbers, 55-32-4 against the spread at home. I have the third most confidence in Aaron Rodgers this weekend.
Number two for me is Pat Mahomes against the Texans. And it's as much about the Texans' defense as it is Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes was really good against the Patriots last year, wasn't he, in the postseason at home?
Yes, remember?
Very, very good.
We all wanted him to get the ball.
I know you rage against the overtime
stuff.
You know what I did, though? I sent him a participation trophy just in case. Play some damn defense, right? Play some defense.
Look, I'm with you. I'm okay with it.
God.
I'm okay if they would change it, too, though. I don't get crazy about the overtime.
Pat Mahomes, to me, that's where my confidence level is with the quarterback and the defense he's facing. I put it all together, and I say I'm second most confident in all this list in Patrick Mahomes against Texas.
We're just one off on nearly every one of our names. I've got Russell Wilson number two. It's exactly 2-1 is exactly the way the MVP voting should go. Russell Wilson, you have doubted many, many times, no matter who's running the football and who's healthy as far as his wide receivers, and he continues to just wow you. So Russell Wilson is the quarterback I trust second most.
You know what? The way we have these lists, Sylvie, my number two is Russell Wilson as well. And I will say this, the top two guys for us, they're the two guys who I have confidence they will not be the reason their team loses on Sunday. If their team loses on Sunday, I do not think it'll be because of the way the quarterback plays. Russell Wilson, for me, I have that much confidence.
We have the same list, then.
We do the exact same list.
So I said get a room.
Get
a football room.
Abdallah?
I've got Lamar Jackson number two. You guys gave all great reasons when you mentioned Lamar Jackson for yours, but I'll give you some different numbers take the other team, take the Titans this weekend against the spread. He is 4-8 against the spread at home. He is, what was the other number? So I wrote it down. Hold on. He's 3-8 against the spread.
You're giving me numbers against him?
He's 3-8 against the spread. Against the spread. He's 3-8 against the spread as a home favorite. So I know he hasn't had a long career, so that's not a very small sample size, but just this year alone, those are his numbers against the spread at home and as a favorite. But that being said, 9.5-point favorite against the Titans. I think if you want just straight up, I like Lamar Jackson number two.
Who do you trust the most, Waddle?
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Yes. Aaron Rodgers,
Still,
I trust
you
the most.
You are the guy. You're the ultimate guy who you will be late to the greats' funerals.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it hasn't been a fantastic statistical season for him. But who's got the career-best touchdown-interception ratio in the history of the game? He's not going to make the catastrophic mistake that gets you beat. He's got a running back now that takes a ton of pressure off of him. And when it comes to trust, like, I need to trust you with everything here because it's win or go home. Like, I trust Aaron Rodgers. Weren't you just reading a bunch of numbers about Aaron Rodgers a bit ago?
I was.
And you're playing against a Seattle defense that is not, like, this is not one of the more elite Seattle defenses, so when you put those two together, I'm going to put my trust in Aaron Rodgers
like
against the Seahawks.
Like you said, it's so subjective, and when you sum it up that way, it could make sense. I'm still going at number one with Patrick Mahomes. I just think with that offense and those weapons and who they're playing, and it's all there for him. And he's shown me last year that the moment doesn't get too big, whether it's the Patriots or whomever. And he's got Andy Reid calling play, so Patrick Mahomes, number one.
Right there with you, Sylvie. He missed three games due to injury this year, which I think allowed him to fly under the radar just a little bit. He still had a 26-5 touchdown to interception ratio and a quarterback rating of 105.3.
Yeah, 105.3.
Which was actually lower than his career quarterback rating of 108.9. So, Pat Mahomes, I feel good with him in command for the Chiefs.
I also took Pat Mahomes, and he is 21-6 straight up as a favorite, 15-11 against the spread as a favorite, 12-4 straight up at home. And just remember, when he is hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, that he could have been a Bear.
And last year, in their game that they lost in the AFC title game, in a losing effort, he was 16-31 for 295 yards, Three touchdowns and no interceptions. And he's going to be facing, again, a Texans defense that I don't think can stop a fart.
Right. No, though J.J. Watt helped him, and he got a sack when they needed it most. You don't think J.J. Watt helped him?
No, he did. Yeah, I just that defense doesn't scare me when they win compared to what the Chiefs can do offensively.
Al says, classy move playing all Rush music. Neil Peart was the MJ of drummers. He changed the game. GOAT. So we lost a great one today, Neil Peart, and that's why we were playing Rush underneath there.
That was a satisfying exercise. On a football Friday heading into the divisional games.
And if you want to weigh in, who's the one quarterback you trust the most? Would you go with Waddle and you say, I don't care that the others may be playing a little better this year. The year's still going with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you're saying Lamar Jackson was the MVP in the regular season and you can't go away with him now.
I find it hard to argue that.
You can rationalize all of this, you know? And Mellor and I have gone with Mahomes, that he just... I think you summed it up well, Mel. He flew under the radar. He got healthy at the exact right time. And I think that this is the team right now that is going to go to the Super Bowl.
And I'll add, last year he did it against Belichick, and he was impressive, remember, in that second half. It seemed like they were on their way had the Patriots not basically bled the clock on them. And if D4 doesn't line up offside in overtime... Was it an overtime? It was right in the fourth quarter, was it? I'm trying to remember now.
It may have been overtime.
If he does not line up offsides, the Chiefs very well could have won that game and been in the Super Bowl.
If I'm looking at this correctly, I don't know if Abdallah, if this was one of your stats. Aaron Rodgers in the postseason, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So he's almost 4-1.
That's trustworthy.
Touchdowns to interceptions.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Also, a couple Bears things we want to get after. Whether the Mahomes and Watson stuff, the son of a Mitch stuff, does it piss you off? And for what reason? Does it piss you off because we missed and you're always going to remember that and you'll never get over it? Or does it piss you off because we won't let you forget about it? Because we just keep talking about it. Because people really get angry that we're talking about it, we're excited about it, and we still flash. Every game, like when the Cubs didn't make the postseason, Waddle, I'm still watching the Cardinals and the Brewers and the Nationals.
And this year it'll be the Reds.
Right, and it could be. You got Shogo. And I'm saying to myself... What are they different with the Cubs? What do the Cubs need to improve? I always circle back to my team when I watch other teams play in these big games.
This is what I'll tell you to watch as well. If you're interested in comparing what you see tomorrow and Sunday to what you saw here in Chicago, watch the play calling. And I'm not telling you to do it because to be mad at Matt Nagy, but just to get a feel for how some of the other teams, the final eight teams, how they go about kind of constructing a game plan and then implementing that game plan in crunch time.
All right, so we're guest-free the rest of the way, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Next, we'll talk about that son of a Mitch Ball. And also, we've got Waddle's World After Dark, and we're commercial-free the rest of the way. It's all next.
Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
Season 3 of Very Cavallari, or as Jay likes to call it, Barely Cavallari, starts tonight.
Let's bring him in. Jay Cutler joins Waddle and Sylvie. Hey, Jay.
Just to clarify, I've never called it that. That was your guys' name for it. While it is clever, I'm not
okay,
sure
we'll take it. We'll take credit for that. So yeah. Are you geared up for Season 3's premiere tonight?
No, I won't watch it.
Do you believe the Brady stuff then? Like, so he Instagrammed yesterday. What was that noise you just made?
I was talking to one of my buddies after that game. I just find it so hard to believe that after, 20 years of brilliant career and success he's had and the continuity that he's going to jump ship and go somewhere else.
Great stuff with Jay Cutler. All of your interviews, all the ones that you may have heard or maybe the ones that you didn't hear, you could always follow them on our podcast at ESPN Chicago Podcasts. Talking about the NFL playoffs, weaving it together with some of the Bears conversation. People get very, very angry at us, the people who don't want to hear it anymore. People just want it to end, at least.
Just ignore it.
Some. Yeah.
They want. I'm saying they just want to put their head in the sand and ignore it.
They do, yeah. Do you think like 25% of the people who are mad are still just in denial?
I don't know. I do know this. We are in the heart of football season. And our team took a turn for the worse, despite high expectations. And we finished 29th in total yards and 29th in points. And the progress we were looking for from our quarterback didn't happen for a number of reasons. Because of the line, because of the tight ends, because of the coach's play con, because of the play of the quarterback as well. And this weekend, unfortunately, there's a game that will take place between the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs, where the two starting quarterbacks, one on each side, are the other guys that also were first-round draft picks in the same year that Mitch was taken. So I hate to tell people, those of you who are pissed, because we're continuing to talk about it in the context we are, this is the news.
When I used to play baseball in high school, and then I graduated to softball when I wasn't good enough to go any further, and I would always slide. You know, I'm a scrappy guy, scrappy player. I always used to skin my right knee.
Would you go spikes up?
No, never. Sure. No, especially, no. Don't respect
your fellow
player. You
just said you were a scrappy guy.
Scrappy hustler.
Garner goes spikes up.
I would slide even in 12-inch softball. And I would always then bleed on the knee, and then it would form a scab. Do you know what I used to do?
Pick the scab?
Pick it. Yeah. I'm a scab picker. When I get hurt, I pick the scab. Whether it's making fun of myself or making fun of my team, it's therapeutic for me. And again, it's something that's the way I am. I'm woe is me. I am, why can't we get a quarterback? How good are these? This was the year to get it. We missed it when it was right in front of us. So are you over Ryan Pace missing on Watson and Mahomes? 57.3% of you say no, you're not over it. 42.7% say yes, you are over it. And about 25% of those people say, shut up already. Talk about something else. Hashtag positive vibes.
Stick it. Hashtag. Stick your hashtag.
Bobby in River North. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bobby?
How's it going, man? I listen to you guys all the time. Thanks for making my morning a little bit better.
Thank you. Is this your morning? Did you just wait? Are you second shift?
No. In the morning is when I'm more pissed off, I guess.
Okay.
But anyway, I just want to give my take. My buddy Kyle actually does this fantasy football Survivor League, where you can only play one player a week and you can't reuse them the next week. So I thought it was an interesting segment about what you guys are talking about, the confidence in those quarterbacks. I would say that I do have a lot of confidence in Aaron Rodgers, and I have very little confidence in Deshaun Watson. I would put him last in confidence this week.
Even below Cousins and Tannehill and Jimmy G?
Yes. And the reason why is because, I mean, I look at those spreads. I don't think this Chiefs game will be close in the slightest bit. I honestly think it can be a torture for the, they're going to be playing from behind. And Deshaun Watson with that offensive line is going to be throwing. He's going to have zero success. So I would obviously put Mahomes up there and then Aaron Rodgers to follow and then everyone else. And I'd put Deshaun Watson very, very last.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I had Watson fifth.
Me too.
And it was, I had him fifth less about him and more about what's going on around him. I mean, he was sacked 44 times this year, 62 times last year.
And no matter what Jeff Van Gundy tells us, who's a Texan super fan, I truly believe that Bill O'Brien does not help out Deshaun Watson in the least.
Listen, I believe that Kyle Shanahan totally helps out Jimmy G. I believe that Kevin Stefanski and Gary Kubiak totally help out.
How about Andy
Kirk
Reed?
Cousins? Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so much natural ability there, and there's so many weapons there that there's not a ton of helping.
Well,
I think that helps.
Roman then with, I mean,
right, absolutely. But I'm just saying, in terms of a protection, like they leave Deshaun Watson hanging out there to dry quite a bit with their play calling and everything else they do. I'm saying to you that they try to take some of that risk away and some of that quote-unquote danger away by how they call plays in Minnesota and San Francisco. And I don't know that Bill O'Brien provides the same level of cover as the other guys. Now, Bill O'Brien would suggest to you, well, my guy's more elusive and can evade some of that rush and danger that Garoppolo and Cousins can't. But I don't think he's got enough around him. In fact, I think you can look at what Deshaun Watson does in the last couple of years, and you really tip your cap. They were 10-6 this year. I mean, do you sit and consistently say, "Wow, the Houston Texans, they were 11-5 last year."
It's one whole division. I can never figure out that whole division.
They're 21-11 over the last 2 years, and like I gave you the stats, he's been sacked 100 times in 2 years. So
Nate's in O'Hare. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nate?
Hey, boys. I wanted to really quickly, before I start, I wanted to say, Marty.
Very good. That's an oldie, too.
I love it. I never hear it anymore. My comment is not, well, as far as who I would pick hands down as a quarterback I would trust the most, it has to be Aaron Rodgers. But then I started thinking, is Ryan Tannehill getting any respect at all? Can they possibly win if he throws under even 200 yards or 150 yards? But it's like a 9.5-point spread. I mean, he's got to be more reliable than that. And I just find that to be one of the more interesting things to watch from the quarterback perspective and across all the games over the weekend. I feel like maybe they don't trust him enough, or he doesn't trust himself enough. But do you think the Titans? You think he can get a win for the Titans?
I think anything's possible.
Like, I mean, hasn't Nick Foles taught us that?
Yes,
that when we count out the Eagles and the Eagles go through the playoffs with Nick Foles?
And remember, it's not just Ryan Tannehill. He's got the number one rusher in the league behind him in Derrick Henry. So he's got a lot of pressure taken off of him by their ability to run the football. I will say this. It has been a very impressive season for him. When he took over, the offense took a turn for the better. And over the course of the year, when he played in the regular season, he completed 70% of his passes, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and had an NFL best 117.5 quarterback rating. So in the limited time, I think he was 7-3 as a starter, he was fantastic. You saw last week against the New England Patriots where he struggled a little bit. And maybe you should have more confidence in him.
Did he struggle, or was it the weather? Was it
a little bit? Weather. He was 8-15 for 72 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I mean, the touchdown pass was brilliant. He didn't look great, but neither did Brady for the most part.
Right.
But I left him at eighth. I have more faith in the other guy.
Viking Scott, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty? You nervous?
Well, I'm not nervous to the extent where, you know, this is it if you lose. But, like, I think it was a good omen this morning. You know, I got Sirius Radio. I turned on 80s on 8, and I heard the Pointer Sisters. I'm so excited.
I used to love that.
So maybe that's a good omen going in.
I used to love that song.
It is a good song. So a couple stats here real quick before I get into my internal breakdown from watching all 16 games every play. So the San Francisco 49ers in their last 14 games against the spread when they're favored by 6 or more are 1-12-1. Quarterbacks that made their first start when they're the number one seed, so quarterbacks that have played for a number one seed when they make their first start in the playoffs are 4-5 outright. Ooh. In those 4-5 and, I don't know, 9 games. I'm sorry. This will be the 10th quarterback starting as a first-time start as a number one seed.
All right.
They're 4-5 outright.
Well, let me interject this, Scott. If you were gambling, the first stat is meaningful. Since you're not gambling, you may gamble, but you're worried more about a win versus a cover here. So isn't it, I mean, when you say that those numbers about how the San Francisco 49ers don't cover the numbers, but they win the majority of their games.
Well, that's why I was going to get to these next two stats.
Okay.
These 6 seeds in the last 8 tries are 0-8 against number one seed.
Ruh-roh.
And the Vikings in their last 10 starts in San Francisco are 1-9.
Uh-oh.
Now, that one win was in 1987 when they had beat the Saints in the first round. That was a strike. There was a couple games by the strike. A couple games there played there. They went in, beat New Orleans, went to San Fran. Joe Montana actually got benched in the third quarter for Steve Young, and the Vikings behind 227 yards by Anthony Carter of receiving, 136-24.
So now, what's your prediction?
You had brought up one other thing. You had brought up the defenses. How close is this? Both teams in the regular season had 48 sacks. Niners gave up 19.1 points per game. The Vikings, 18.6. They both had 15 fumble recovers, the other 14, 117 interceptions, the other one 12. Here's what it boils down to. Throw all those numbers out. They got some confidence last week, the Vikings. All right? And here's the thing. D. Ford is coming back, but I was told sometimes by Yurko, for a D. lineman, the worst injury to come back from is a hamstring because you can't get push-off when you're rushing. And then also the torn pectoral muscle of Alexander. If both those guys are healthy, the Vikings are going to be in trouble because of that internal pass rush. If not, this is going to be a slugfest. And we said already, Kubiak's influence with the zone scheme. Shanahan runs the same thing. Cousins is ranked third in play-action passing.
Give us a prediction.
It's going to be 24-23, and I'm going to predict the same thing that happened to the Chiefs last year. D4 is going to jump off sides. Vikings are going to keep a drive alive, and Bailey's going to win it at the buzzer.
There you go.
You like that?
Yeah, you like that?
Dan Bailey's been great this year, too.
Listen, that was like a Saturday Night Live bit where he gave us 3 minutes of stats, and at the end of giving us all the stats, he said, throw all the stats out the window. Yeah.
You know what, though? If you look at the numbers of this season, this shouldn't be a game that where the spread is a touchdown. Because offensively, there's no doubt that the 49ers get a little bit of an edge here. But defensively, they're very similar. Offensively, the 49ers average 30 points per game, but the Vikings are averaging 25.5 points per game. So it's not huge. Defensively, both of these teams did an excellent job this year. 49ers gave up, 19.5 points per game?
Yeah, he gave us those, and then 18
and
for the Vikings.
And the Vikings gave up 18.9 points per game. Statistically, you've got a quarterback.
He just gave us all that.
No, I'm saying this year. I'm saying
that's
this year.
Gave us.
Throw them out.
I'm just saying
throw
to you
the numbers
that
out.
I have the Vikings losing in dramatic fashion, but I'm telling you.
You had them losing in dramatic fashion last year.
Correct. And if I'm following the numbers, I should suggest that the Vikings will stay much closer than 7 because that's what the course of the year says statistically. Something just tells me, though,
that's why
that it's going to go sideways for them. I'm just telling you.
John's in Carroll
Stream. I don't like the matchup.
Johnny, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I've been listening since day one, since you guys took over for Sean Salisbury and that other Yahoo.
Yeah,
they,
Rosenblum,
first time
right?
Calling, so
thank you. Yeah.
Hey, I'm calling in regards to the son of a Mitch Bull. You know, you don't know what either one of those guys would look like in a Bears uniform. I think it was Peter King, maybe a couple weeks back, saying he hasn't seen since Andrew Luck a quarterback that is just, you know, you take that guy number one, no matter what. If you're in the market for a quarterback, you're taking that guy. And so, say, you know, the Bears take Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson and John Fox as their coach, and you got a year like Mitch and Mike Glennon had, and all of a sudden, you know, you're wondering, oh, wow, look at Mitch Trubisky out in Kansas City. That guy's the man. You know what I mean?
You think so? Like, we've played the reverse game where how good would Mahomes or Watson be here? You really believe, watching Mitch and knowing how he only had a year experience and the way he looks in the pocket, that you believe if he sat like Mahomes in Kansas City and got tutored by Reed, that we would be envious of Mitch Trubisky?
I don't know Mitch per se, just because obviously we know too much about him to actually fantasize like that, but we do know Andy Reid's track record with quarterbacks, and I almost feel comfortable saying that any quarterback that Andy Reid had, I'd take for the Bears. You guys remember Kevin Cobb?
Yeah, sure.
John, I don't like to play the if this quarterback was in this offense and this quarterback was in that offense very, very often. But I would suggest to you, using your own logic, that last year, had Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson been in the Bears offense, running that Bears offense late in the season and in the postseason with that Bears defense, you may not have double stoinked. You may not have been hideous in the first 2.5 quarters of the game and only scored one touchdown against the Eagles in your eventual loss. So like I said, I don't like to play, you know, hey, if Mitch was in Kansas City, his numbers probably would be better because Kansas City has better people. But that doesn't mean the only relevant question is, this is what I keep coming back to, John, and I'll ask you, based on what you saw and going back to Clemson and back to Texas Tech and back to wherever you saw all these guys play, do you honestly believe that this offense wouldn't be better with Watson and or Mahomes?
No, I do believe they would be better.
And isn't that, but John, isn't that the only question? Seriously.
No, Tommy, you're right. You're right. That is the only question because that's reality. I guess what I'm just saying is maybe soften the blow for everybody like me who does watch the son of a Mitch Bull and, you know, just sits there and wishes either one could be our quarterback.
And John, I'll say this because I think you're, and I think we've been adamant about this. This year was, the disaster wasn't just about Mitch. I mean, they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect him. The tight end position was a disaster. I didn't think the coach got the best out of the quarterback either. So, I mean, if Mitch was in tennis or Houston, or if he was in Kansas City, I don't think there's any doubt he would have had a better run because he would have been around better people. But when you put on the film of all these guys and you look at their skill set and how comfortable they are and their quarterback instincts and their fundamentals and their ability to read a defense and all of that stuff, it's just it's undeniable that the other two guys are better football players. Now, maybe the miraculous happens and 5 years from now, we'll all be saying, wow, can you remember those days when we were all killing Mitch in comparison to Mahomes and Watson, and now he's the best of the three? God, I hope that's the case. But right now, the here and now, it's just the reality is the other two guys are better football players.
All right, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Enjoy the football.
Thanks for the time, guys.
There you go. All
right. You know, I mean, and I hate to be, you know, to be kind of like close-minded about it, but when I hear all those discussions about...
That's what you've always said.
I mean, listen, the only question that matters is, did they get the right guy, isn't it?
Well, and the other question going forward and why I harp on it is, it's still the same general manager who needs to get it right. A lot of us are all in agreement that the Bears need to draft a developmental quarterback. Do you need a parachute? And are they going to draft a quarterback in the second round? Is he going to get the right one there?
If you're using the past to predict the future, you would be beyond skeptical.
Do you want to get into Waddle's World After Dark?
Sure.
We usually have Gene Greco Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we didn't get all to the stories during Waddle's World, and we'll still take your calls at 332-3776, but let's have some fun. It's Friday.
Didn't you also, did you have wasn't there something about the Twitter feud that you wanted to add?
I was just pretty passionate. You don't get riled up about that,
no,
do you?
No, I don't. I think Twitter.
Don't you think it's unfair though that KD takes all the hits he takes?
I do. I think. Listen, I've always felt that if you want to be a free agent, go be a free agent. I mean, you've earned the right to shop your services. Why wouldn't you want to go somewhere where you can win titles, even if it means you are pairing up with some very talented players? I don't hold that against him.
If you missed it, Kendrick Perkins was arguing with KD. He was first talking about how Russell Westbrook was the best Oklahoma City Thunder player ever in history. They were honoring Russ yesterday. It was a great actual tribute video, and he was the first Thunder player to ever get a tribute video. They never gave one to Harden. They didn't give one to KD, but they did give one to Westbrook. He got a great ovation, so people were discussing, is he the greatest player in Thunder history?
They traded him, right? They traded Westbrook, didn't they? He didn't leave via free agency?
For Chris Paul.
Right, so KD left via free agency.
Yes, and it scarred them, and yeah. I get it, but it was his choice for Kendrick Perkins to say. Kendrick Perkins said to Kevin Durant, truth be told, you don't even feel like a real champ. You have a hard time sleeping at night knowing that you took the coward way out. Think about that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that assessment.
He won the NBA Finals MVP in both of those.
Yeah.
When he got hurt, they didn't win the NBA Finals. And you're telling me that he's a coward? And that he's not a quote real champ.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that thing.
Let's have some fun.
By the way, I have this story for you. I didn't know what this phrase meant. The Sunday scaries.
Woo!
Does it surprise you that I didn't know what
no,
the Sunday scaries are?
No, it doesn't. Because a man of your talents doesn't necessarily get the Sunday scaries, right?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so it's a compliment, really.
Oh, okay,
a man of your means, a man of your wealth, a man of what you do. You come in, you talk sports with us. It's great. But you played football on Sundays, so your job was on Sunday. So you probably got Saturday scaries or Friday scaries where you were like, oh, man, I got this game coming up. You start to get maybe a little bit of butterflies.
I did not sleep well on Saturday nights, for sure.
So for people, I'll tell you when, and I'll pull the curtain back and let people on the inside of the Waddle and Sylvie show. Sylvie texts me on Sunday when he gets the Sunday scaries, because I can tell the kids are away for a little bit maybe. And
the kids
he's got,
are in bed, yeah.
Kids are in bed. He's got some alone time, and he's thinking about what are we going to do
Monday.
Monday? What are we going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
When do I send you those texts?
You don't, which is why you don't get Sunday scaries. So that's when I know Sylvie gets the Sunday scaries. You want to know when I get the Sunday scaries?
When you get the text
from
Sylvie?
When I see the text message from Sylvie, and I'm like, oh, crap. We got to do a show on Monday.
Right.
So that's when people, it's when younger people, it's a term for younger people, millennials and whatnot, when they know they have to go back to work. Like, Big Cat is a big Sunday scaries guy.
Is he a Sunday scary
guy? Yeah, it's like usually right when you
hit. But he's got a job where, like, everything he does is fun.
Yeah, but he knows, like, when they hit. Like, right when you hit that Sunday night football music, that's when you've been waiting all day for a Sunday night. That's when you kind of like.
Do you know what the actual Sunday Scaries official time is? According to new research?
I do, because I got you the story.
Would you like to guess? The official, this is the exact time you can expect to experience the Sunday Scaries, according to new research.
I think it's right before dinner time on Sunday. So I'm going to go 5 o'clock in the evening on Sunday.
Okay. According to a survey of 2,000 Americans, which found 88% of respondents have a feeling of anxiety on Sunday when thinking about Monday morning. Meller, do you know? Did you
feels
see
like
the
a little? No, I did not. But
later?
It feels a little later for me. I feel like 7:30.
Yeah, like when you're laying down.
Yeah, when you've been waiting all day for a Sunday night.
And it coincides with Sunday night football.
The truth is it's earlier than both of you.
Wow.
The Sunday scaries set in at 3:58 p.m. according
close.
To new research.
All right. You know when that is?
So after the first quarter of.
It's after I just watched Nagy explain himself on the post-game show.
Ugh. Or for those of you that aren't football crazy like we are, it's right around when that brunch buzz wears off, I would assume.
True, yeah.
For most young people.
From the mimosas. Mm-hmm.
The survey pinpointed when that feeling starts, and as it turns out, respondents begin to dread the upcoming week as the clock approaches 4 in the afternoon. Conducted by One Poll and commissioned by luxury home brand Charisma, the survey also looked at potential causes of the Sunday scaries and ways in which respondents work to fight it. Results revealed that it takes the average respondent about 2 hours to unwind after work on a Friday, but they then do slightly over 3 hours of unpaid work over the weekend. I don't. This includes checking work emails, looking over presentations, and taking a work call, as well as thinking about work an average of 6 times.
I know my wife gets them. Really? Yeah. When she goes back to work on Monday.
I used to get it when I was in high school all the time. Going back to high school, my junior year.
The Sunday scary.
Got a test. Got no one to take to the dance.
What?
You know.
You want to get deeper into this?
Yeah. Do you need a couch to lay down on? Come on, you could always find someone to go to the dance.
Not 16-year-old
Sylvie. Okay, time out. Did you not have any friends that would just go as friends?
Not really,
Or did you burn all those bridges?
Sylvie's not going as friends?
I wasn't. I was just a sportsy, geeky guy then.
But you didn't have any female friends at that point?
Not really in high school, no. Uh-uh.
Glad you grew out of that phase.
Would that put you in the creepy category?
No, I was never creepy.
Okay,
no,
well, why didn't just, you? I mean, you had to have some friends that were female. That
I was,
just
I had no game and no confidence at that level. None in high school. College is when I sort of grew into it.
But again, you don't have to have game and confidence to have a friend.
Well, to talk to girls, you did.
As a friend?
Yeah. You didn't
hey, Donna, you want to listen? I know that we're not dating or anything, but you want to go to the prom with me? It seems like you don't have a date.
I wasn't the top receiver on the number one football team in Ohio.
It didn't have to
matter.
You know?
That doesn't matter.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
No, it didn't.
No.
I was the most unathletic.
Did you have a date?
Of course.
Yeah?
Ready to go.
He would get high and ask. See, I didn't get high.
That I don't know what you're talking about. That is slander.
That is slanderous. He was high or she was high?
He was.
Get up the nerve.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you bribing people with marijuana cigarettes?
Never. Whoa, come on. Slander.
I didn't say that.
Marijuana cigarettes?
I said he would get high and then get the cojones.
I'm high. No, how are you? I'm high. You're high.
No, you just, you know.
You got to spit a little game every once in a while.
We used to have dances every Friday night at Moeller in the gym. It was fantastic. Yeah. But you would only go with your buddies.
Easy for the star wide receiver.
You're going with your friends. And we had an all-guys school, so then all the girls from the all-girls school would then show up.
Oh, yeah.
Or there'd be dances at theirs. Yes. Yeah. You didn't go to those?
Nah.
What were you doing on Friday night? Box scores?
Playing cards, yeah.
Get his fantasy baseball team ready.
I doubt that. I'm not buying that. I think you're playing a role. I'm not buying that.
What else do you got?
That's all I got. It's time to get the hell out of here. Sunday Scaries dominated the conversation.
Give us a headline.
Poop story?
No, I was joking. I was just giving you guys heat. Man calls police to report cheeseburger stolen from motel nightstand. Nick Friedel in Little Rock, Arkansas, claimed someone stole it. stole his cheeseburger off a motel nightstand in Benton, Arkansas, according to KATV content partner, the Saline Courier. What the hell is going on over there?
Saline Courier.
That's all I got. I got nothing else. Okay. I promised you a big poop story, and I was lying to you, just trying to make you jealous. Because I know how you guys like big, horrible poop stories.
Thank you to Mike Tirico. Awesome job. He will be on NBC tomorrow on the San Francisco Vikings pregame.
Get your 10-team teasers in before kickoff tomorrow afternoon.
And thanks to Jason Wilde. We've got Mike North and Carmen coming up next. It's called The Odds Couple. They're really good at gambling, and they will inform you.
We're not.
Coming up next. And then Meller Abdallah. More of this fun at 7 o'clock with Meller and Abdallah with lots of football
Friday
conversation.
Scaries.
Thank you to Meller and Abdallah. And for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
It's the classic.
Chicken.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.